This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. I'm delighted to be joined by Johnny of the fantastic Borough Breakdown podcast, preview Saturday's championship clash with Michael Carrick's Middlesbrough at Home Park. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm really good, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me on. I think good to catch up as well. I know we spoke in the pre-season as well, so it's always good to catch up with you, mate, as well. Yeah, so thank you very, very much for having me on.
It's all good. Before we get into our league game, I think we have to start with your midweek victory over them up the road. Obviously, the travelling for your two trips to Devon is reminiscent of our Saturday, Tuesday games against Carlisle and Hartlepool in 2011. I'm sure you remember them well. But obviously, a good win in midweek, right?
Yeah, a really good win midweek. A game of screamers as well. If I don't know if you've seen the highlights or anything, all your fans have seen it, but every single goal, apart from the penalty of Laf scores at the end, are just absolute belters. They're all top bins. It's just in a top bins, obviously, three of them, and then one of them's like bottom corner, but it's like outside the box and bends lovely round, and you're just thinking, what's going on? Like, we're not, it's like a proper cup tie. That John, how the pundits say, oh, I love a proper cup tie. That was a very big cup tie, and Exeter weren't particularly great, but they scored with the two shots on target. So, classic football, really, isn't it? But yeah, really good win midweek. And then obviously, 8 wins in 9 now. So, yeah, going in, good bit of form as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that you've used up all your wins in Devon on that one. How different will that starting lineup be used on Tuesday look come Saturday?
Yeah, I think it'll change. I think it'll change again. You know, we made 6 changes to the sides who lost to Stoke. I still think we'll make a couple of changes again. I can see Dyke still staying in at right back, but if he doesn't, then Vandenberg will come back in. I think Lucas Engel coming at left back. And I think that we'll probably see maybe Sam Greenwood come back in. He has had a bereavement in his family, so I'm not too sure if he's going to travel. So he might come back in for Sammy Silvera. But other than that, I think that'll probably be the team that plays against you guys. So probably I'm expecting three or four changes, probably sending Dieng to come back in goal as well. So 3 or 4 changes. And then I think that'll be the team. And, you know, we've been playing really well as of late. And I think after the Stoke game, I think we just need to maybe make a couple of changes to freshen things up again. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, we can start to go on a really good run.
Yeah, you mentioned the travel there. Do you know if they've stayed in Devon at all, or have they?
Yeah, so they've flown. So they flew down to Exeter, then flew back up, and then they're flying back down to Plymouth, and then flying back up again. So the luxury of being a professional footballer, you know, and someone bankrolling the private flights. So very jealous. So I feel for the fans, to be honest. You know, making those long trips as well. I know a lot of fans who were staying in Devon for the rest of the week, and you know, we've sold out our allocation again, so that's really good. But yeah, the players are flying up, so hopefully it shouldn't affect them too much.
Yeah, it's incredibly impressive to sell out both, Danny. I know that we've not played you that recently, but well, apart from that pre-season tour that you did under Warnock, obviously. We don't really count that one. Obviously, going back to the beginning of the season, you started quite poorly, but as you've already mentioned, it's now 8 wins in 9 out of all competitions. What changed between that early season form and racking up those wins?
Yeah, a few things, to be honest. A few things. You know, I think at the start of the season, we were trialing a new way or an adjustment from what we've done previously over last year. It was like this start of the season, it became like a 4-2-4 shape from the 3-2-5 in possession. Obviously, very, you know, new to this way of playing and possession style football. And last year, we were very much get the ball on the right, flip it over the left, Giles into Wakpom, goal. And obviously, we lost 66 goals overnight, losing four or five key players. And it's took us some time to get going again. But now that we are getting going, we are starting to find a good bit of form. You know, we've adjusted things again. But instead of that 3-2-5, it's more of like a 2-3-5 now, where both fullbacks are coming into centre and really trying to cause the overloads as well, which is really good to see. And then probably secondly, the new players have started to really start to fit in. We've brought more of the players who played last year back into the team. And things just look a lot more settled now. And I think with Middlesbrough, it's always been a case of when it clicks, it'll probably click and we'll hopefully start to climb up the table. I don't think anyone expected us to win probably 7 or 8 in a row. To be honest, it's unheard of really in these leagues, up unless you're Leicester. Yeah, Leicester have switched. So, but we've had a really good turn. And I think it's just because of one, I think being patient with Carrick, two, the new players adapting, and three, going back to what was working last year. And I think those three things have accumulated into Borough probably starting to get some results again. And I'm glad to have, because it was getting really depressing that we weren't winning games, to be honest.
Yeah, you say there about, you know, keeping patience with Carrick, but was there any like rumblings of discontent? Obviously, I know in the pre-season pod you came on and said that he's going to be a future England manager. So I should do still think that, but was that mutual?
Yeah, I think you've got to give him patience, to be honest. You know, I think what he did last year and the journey we were on last season and getting into the playoffs from the relegation zone to then, and that going on that amazing run, he deserved time. He really did deserve time. And I know there's going to be a selection of supporters that think, oh, well, if you don't win 5 games in a row, you're out, essentially. And you're always going to have that, aren't you? And I'm glad that we did give him the patience to kind of let him understand and see where things were going wrong and then to rectify it. And I think it's paid dividends. And I am a big believer in managers having time, and I'm glad that he's been given it. And I think we will give him a lot of time. Even if we go on another bad run of form, I think we'll still give him time and time again. So yeah, I'm glad that he has got it and nothing's particularly changed, and the fans absolutely adore him, to be honest.
Yeah, I've picked out a few key figures, shall we say. Obviously, if there's anybody else that you think needs to be spoken about, do mention them. But let's start with the player that I've seen considered the heartbeat of your side, Hayden Hackney. How good has he been?
Yeah, he's brilliant. He really is brilliant, Hayden Hackney. You know, I think he's someone who was just flourishing, and he's just full of confidence. And I think he's, you know, I think you can't beat that. Like when you watch footballers and they've got that confidence, they feel invincible, don't they? And I think Hayden Hackney's kind of going through that phase of his career at the moment. And what a manager to work with as well, is like Michael Carrick is a, you know, midfield maestro himself. And he is I wouldn't say he's the heartbeat of the team, but you can definitely notice him when he's not there. And he's really good at getting the ball forward and progressing play and trying to get the ball in the final third and really keep us ticking. You know, I think we've got another centre midfielder in Dan Barlasso, who, for me, I think he's a really special talent. I just really enjoy watching him. So calm and collected on the ball, always in space, really good passing him. And it's nice to have those two ball-playing midfielders in midfield, and you've kind of got the option of bringing in Housen as well. But for me, Hayden Hackney, yeah, he's been superb this season. He really does help us tick. And, you know, he's definitely someone that I would like the Plymouth fans to maybe keep an eye on for maybe 5-10 minutes in the game if you've got the opportunity to do so. And also, you'll see him get booked. He always gets booked. So for a stupid foul. So you'll probably, if you're after a bet the weekend, Hayden Hackney, card anytime, probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's most probably going to be low odds though if it's a red card. But yeah, I might stick that in an acca. Obviously, just a little update would be great on two players that, if you believe media hype, were on their way to Home Park. In Sammy Silvera and Josh Coburn, how have they got on?
Yeah, they were, weren't they? They were very close to joining the pair of them. Sammy Silvera had in pre-season, excellent. Everyone was like, wow, what a find, you know. And at the start of the season, he's he had a bit of a rough patch, to be honest, to kind of be honest with it, and he missed some really big chances, and I think confidence just was absolutely shot after that, and he got taken out of the team. And very, very recently, he started to come back in, and he scored 2 goals in 3 games now. And you think, oh, this is kind of the player that we wanted to bring in, someone who, when he does have that confidence, he can drive forward, a bit of a dribbly boy. Do you know where he likes to dribble quite a lot and get the ball in the, and take on his man? And I'd like to see more of that from him. You know, there's a lot of untapped potential from him, and I think he does hold back a little bit in case of the fans get on his back, but I think it's because he's had quite a tough start to life from Teesside, but he's slowly coming to his own, and I hope he continues that. I don't think he'll start at the weekend, but I think he's going to slowly come good as a good signing. But he was very close, and then someone who was even closer to signing on loan was Josh Corbyn, and I remember you messaging me.
I wish we did.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
I remember you messaging me saying, oh, is it going to happen? And I was like, well, yeah, I think it actually is. I like, from what I knew, we both kind of thought it was a done deal, wasn't it? And it, for whatever reason, it just didn't materialise. We couldn't get another body in up front, so he ended up staying. And for me, he's done really well to come in. He's still very raw, Josh Corbyn. Like, he's not the finished article by any means. There's still a lot of work that what he can do. But what he does give you is just like a vocal point up top. And, you know, you can try and play off the ball off him. He might not always get it right, but he kind of gives you just the direction, you know what I mean? It takes players away. I would like to see more from him in the box, and I'd like to see him continue his improvement. But for me, he's had a really decent start, and you can't always hang your hat on him, but he's a kid and he's just developing. And do you know what? He would have been a fantastic signer for Plymouth, to be honest. I would have loved for him to come to Devon and develop further, but he's currently at us right now. Probably shouldn't have been here, but he is, and he's done fairly well. Do you know? Like, he's done really well. We went on this great run with him in the side as well, so long may it continue. But I think if we do bring another body or two in up front, I think we may actually see that deal go through eventually in January.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't say no, let's be honest. We've got a loan slot open, and he seems to be, every time I seem to check your score, he's scored. I don't know how many he's actually got, but it seems to be like that curse that every time I check, I'm like, oh, he's done it again. Yeah, obviously Saturday sees our first league meeting since the 5th of April 2010, in which it finished a 2-0 win for yourselves after goals from McManus and Franks, sandwiched between Brad Jones saving an Alan Judge penalty. It's a bit of a throwback there.
Wow.
Yeah, what are your thoughts ahead of this one then? Same again?
I would love a 2-0 win. I really would. For me, I think Plymouth are in a bit of a weird position, to be honest. A kind of false position, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think going forwards, you look fairly decent, you know, like looking at the underlying numbers, 8th and 9th in the expected goals. I think defensively, looking a little bit suspect. But for me, I don't know. I just think Plymouth are in a bit of a false position right now. I think you will come good. I think there is still a lot of work to be done, but I think if Shimakan can get you to maybe 18th, 19th this year, which you want where you are now, and I think that'd be a really good season for you. But saying that, it only takes a few games for Plymouth to really get going, and I really hope it doesn't start on Saturday. because I think once you guys get going, I think you'll be on a really nice run, and you'll be much more safer than I think anyone is expecting. But I would love a 2-0 win. I'll take a 2-0 win. So let's hopefully history repeats itself and we do that again. But I'll take a 2-0, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Three little quick finishing questions for you then. Palmos or pasties?
Palmo every day.
I'm really looking forward to having my first Palmo. Like, obviously, as we just said, like we haven't played you for a while. I cannot wait to get one of those. When we head up there, I think I'd still back a pasty. I think though. Favorite player to represent both? Off the top of my head, you've got like a Ben Gibson, Yala Balassi, as we were talking the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I the only two I could think of, to be honest. I was thinking, represent both. I would definitely go Yannick Bolasie, just because he was great for Plymouth, and also he had like a couple of moments of delight for Middlesbrough. He was a very short-term signing. And yes, I love Ben Gibson, he's great. But just Yannick Bolasie, I feel like he's a little flair player that everyone loves, do you know what I mean? So I'll go with Yannick Bolasie on that one.
Yeah, I just thought of Dwight Marshall as well. I need to get there. the play for both 11 out. I'm sure there'll be a few. I'm sure there'll be an absolute howler both missed. But yeah. And then just lastly, a score prediction.
Yeah, I'll go with a 2-0. I'll go with a 2-0. And Corburn to score, I think.
Yeah, so
it's brilliant. The stars.
Your bet builder is 2-0 win, Josh Coburn to score, and Hayden Hackney to be carded.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wouldn't bet on it, but yeah, I'll go for that.
Yeah, nice. And just lastly, where can people find your content?
Yeah, so they can find us, the Borough Breakdown podcast on your podcast providers, Borough Breakdown on YouTube, and then Borough_Breakdown on Twitter, and just Borough Breakdown on any social media platform, apart from Snapchat, really. So anyone apart from that one, and you'll find us from there.
Nice, cool. Cheers, Johnny.
Is it?
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Should we do a quick review of Borough then? Make it quick, make it snappy. Obviously, the first league meeting since the 5th of April 2010, which was a 2-0 defeat for Argyle at Home Park, which saw Alan Judge have a penalty saved by Brad Jones. How do you see this one going, Ben?
It's the elephant in the room is the striker situation. I very much doubt we're going to get anywhere without a better striker than Ben Wayne up front, because we're going to have to change tactics, as Dan, I think, has alluded to realistically make the most of his talents. So we have to probably change tactics and formation. So I am genuinely quite worried going forward until we know what's happening with the strikers, with Bundu and Hardy's fitness situations. So I can't really see past that in terms of any kind of speculation for games between now and January.
I'm sure if John was here, he would say this. So I'm going to make the point he would have made it once again by playing a team at the wrong time. With Middlesbrough going on a great run of form, if we could have only have just had the luck of playing them in our early season games when they were absolutely sinking without a trace, it would have been a lot better. But they are on a great run of form. Carrick Scotland playing good football again. Josh Coburn, who we nearly signed on deadline day, is now a fairly regular player for them and playing pretty well by all accounts. So it's going to be a very tough game, not to mention their injury problems. I suppose the slight grain of hope from the opposition point of view is although they have been on a fantastic run of form, I think they won something like 5 or even 6 in a row before yesterday. They did lose yesterday. So hopefully that might mean that their good run is coming to an end and they're, maybe going to have a little bit of a wobblier run again, which would benefit us hugely. But no bones about it. It's going to be a very tough game. I suppose the good thing is that our home form is a lot better than our away form. So hopefully that will come into play. Hopefully we are, as Ben alluded to. Aaron, you're shaking your head. Is that something I've said or is that something else?
No, not what you said for once. Carry on.
Okay. I've lost trail of where I was now. And hopefully what the point Ben made about just not having the rubber of the green quite falling away, hopefully that will change. If we have a pretty, shoddy performance and we just win, 2-1 with one goal going in off someone's backside and the other with a dodgy penalty given our way or something like that. And, if that scenario does occur, I'm sure we'd all be very, very thankful for it. And I'm sure we'd say it would represent a fair levelling out of the way the luck has slightly fallen so far.
And the referee waving away Ben Gibson, hacking down Cosgrove clean through in the penalty area. And the referee waving away Gibson, hacking down Cosgrove clean through in the penalty area.
Do you mean Coburn? Sorry. And also Lewis Gibson rather than Ben as well, I believe.
Oh,
but yeah.
Mate, it is too late.
Long day. That was why I was so confused. But yeah, no worry, mate. Long day for all of us. I'm clearly
you can edit that out for sure.
and also the referee waving away Lewis Gibson hacking down Coburn in the penalty area, which is entirely my own observation. If that happened, then we'd all be grateful for it. But yeah, tough game, and I think probably right away I'd say a draw wouldn't be the worst thing at all.
Yeah, Dan, Sam's obviously alluded to it there that Michael Carrick's managed to turn things around at the Riverside. Any thoughts on the job that Carrick's doing? Any clippable thoughts?
Well, I don't know if there'll be any clippable thoughts tonight, but I do hope we clipped up John Allsop's opinions on Michael Carrick from around August time, let's say, because he was full of glee about his pre-season prediction of Carrick being found out, seemingly coming true given the start that they made. Obviously, he has turned it around extremely well, as he did with them last season when he joined. You have to say he's done a terrific job. It will be interesting to see if he can now kind of maintain that throughout the course of the season, and if he did take them up, you know, whether he'd be able to take it up to that next level. But certainly so far, you know, you have to massively credit the job he's done. And just to kind of, yeah, agree with the other two, it will be a very tough game. Interesting to see what team we put out with the players that we have available. At the time of recording, not sure whether Hardy and or Bundu will be fit, but that will be, fingers crossed that they are. But if they're not, you know, we might have to shuffle things around a bit, potentially go two up front with Wayne and Whittaker just playing off him or something like that. But it will be a tough game. Middlesbrough are a good team, and they seem to have a very strong spine of their team with, you know, Senny Dieng in goal, Paddy McNair's a very good centre back, Johnny Howson in midfield, Matt Crooks. That's a lot of good players, and will do well to have control of the game against that spine. Once again, just looking forward to the challenge. You know, whilst we have been pretty good at home this season, let's not try and slip back into the last season mentality of kind of turning up and expecting to win every game at home. You know, we might well be on the back foot for a lot of the game. We might not see as much of the ball as we like, especially if we are without Hardy and Bundu. So it will be a tough game, but hopefully a good watch, as a lot of our games have been this season.
Put your money on 7 yellow cards.
Why is that?
Well, because I think we're going to be tactical fouling our backsides off to get through that one.
Another West Brom.
Yeah, I think it might be. Like has been said, especially if the two strikers are out, with the quality they have, especially around the middle of the park, a 0-0 with sort of a hatful of yellow cards would probably be a good result.
Yeah, obviously Middlesbrough kick off November with Leeds away, Sunderland at home, Coventry away to follow. How do you see November going, Sam?
Would go a lot better if I remember to unmute myself. It would. I see November being a really tricky month, in all truth. I think October was on paper an easier month than November was. Middlesbrough going to be a tough game for sure. Then it's Leeds away, and their record at Elm Road this season is absolutely extraordinarily good. So that's going to be a very, I mean, they lost their opening game against Cardiff, and I think have not lost at home since. So that's going to be a really tough game. Then there's another international break, and we've not had enough of them. Then it is Sunderland at home, and they're a team we've been a bit mixed this season, but they're very much on paper one of the stronger teams in this league. So I think if we could even get 3 points out of those three games, or even 2 points, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And then it's probably what looks like the most winnable game of the month is Coventry away. But even that's an away game against the team who were in the playoff final last year. So if that's the most winnable looking, you know, although they're not doing too well this season, but there is every chance we could turn it around. So if that's the most winnable looking game of the month, you know, it's a blooming tough month coming up. Obviously, what else am I going to say there? December looks quite a bit more favourable on paper, touch wood. But, you know, there are really very few easy games at this level apart from the one we had on Wednesday night. But that's probably about the only one. Tough month. I think for the month overall, I would probably accept going at a point a game. So 4 points from the four games would be probably the minimum expectation. Five would be perfectly fine, would be actually pretty good. So four would be perfectly fine, five would be pretty good. Anything above that, and I think you can call it a genuinely excellent month.
I basically wouldn't disagree with that. I think that 4 points would be very good. I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, 4 points probably, given who we're playing and the form they're in. It's a shame because, as you know, the point I made at great length earlier was that we're on form, maybe the eighth best team in the league, and so you give us a fighting chance and we haven't got the rub of the green. And so, you know, I said you can't expect things to just turn, but, you know, there's a chance that we could have got more than 4 points. I'd have probably been more bullish, and it's that the looming spectre of an injury crisis that stops me being any more bullish, and says, yeah, 4 points, given the state of the squad as it isn't right now, I'll take it. But, you know, there's no reason why with a full strength squad or at least one fit striker, we couldn't aim for more. But sadly, it's the situation we find ourselves in rather than the form or the performances that would sort of dictate expectations right now.
Yeah, nice. Before we go, is there anything anybody wants to add, or are we calling that a night?
What a privilege it was to play against the greatest team League One has ever seen on Saturday.
Didn't play ourselves, mate. God. Right. Anyway, night. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate.
That's the end of another episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. Before you go, please make sure you drop us a review on whichever podcast platform you are using, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at ArgyleLife1886. Cheers.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.